Morning to everyone. It's good to see everyone here this morning, this crisp morning. I know we're studying from the Gospel of John in the Sunday morning class, and we'll soon reach the account of Peter denying Jesus three times. In John, the 18th chapter, verse 17 and verses 25 through 26. And John's account is not as detailed as the other three gospel writers. There's more detail that's found in Matthew, the 26th chapter, Mark, the 14th chapter, and Luke 22. And my hope this morning is what I present will help us understand more of how close Peter was to Jesus, but also understand that he denied Jesus at a crucial time, as Jesus foretold him he would. Jesus had just told Peter he was going to a place that Peter could not go. In John, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 3, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock, that is the rooster, shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice or three times. And Jesus warns Peter in Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning at verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, this is Peter saying unto Jesus, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice or three times deny that you know me. Now, very quickly after that, there was an arrest made of Jesus. He was taken bound before Annas and then Caiaphas, and a nighttime trial was held. And at that time, Peter denies Jesus. Now, we're covering a lot of verses within the gospel writers in this next time, and I'm not going to try to read them all, but I'll reference them, and I encourage you to go back to those accounts in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22, and read through this, because they have a fuller account. But in John, the 18th chapter, it says that Jesus, or accounts that Jesus is betrayed by Judas. You may remember that Judas came with his group that he had already agreed to be involved in the capture of Jesus and the betraying of Jesus, and he had kissed Jesus. And Jesus asked that group of Jewish officials, who do you seek? And he states, he is Jesus of Nazareth. Now, verse 10, Peter, once Jesus was bound, he took his sword out of its holder and he cut off the ear of Malchus with his own sword. And Jesus tells him, Peter, put your sword away. Matthew 26 and verse 56 records for us, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then all of the disciples that were around Jesus, that's the full 12 disciples, and Peter's included in those disciples, it accounts that they fled. All of them fled away from this event. Now, the group of Jews take Jesus to Annas and then to Caiaphas the high priest, and they began to preside over the trial of Jesus at night. Now, even though Peter fled, he came to where Jesus was being held for the trial, and another disciple came back. And we see from the other accounts that that was probably John. And John was allowed to bring Peter into the building where the trial was taking place. But there was not room where Peter could go in. Peter could go in. So John somewhat stood at the doorway or just outside of the palace. And Peter was a little bit further away. In Matthew 26, beginning at verse 69, it says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he," that is Peter, "denied before them all, saying, I know not what you say." And with that, Peter withdraws from the closeness of the trial, moves a little bit farther away. He leaves that first room, moves out to a porch room. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, Peter denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for your speech betrays thee." He was a Galilean, and they were in Jerusalem. And then Peter began to curse and swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he, that is Peter, went out and wept bitterly. Now the accusation and denial seemed to have happened quickly. And Peter denied that he was a disciple of Jesus three times, and that it bothered him more each time. John 18 and verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, who ere Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see thee in the garden with him?" So he was in that group that came with the Jews to capture Jesus. And Peter had a higher profile than the other disciples at this point, as he had cut Malchus's ear off. Mark 14, verse 71 accounts for Peter, and it says, "But he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak." And the pressure of what Jesus had foretold of his denying him was building. Think of being Peter near the room where Jesus was and seeing Jesus looking over him as the rooster crowed three times. That the rooster crowed after Peter denied him the third time. Luke 22 and verse 61 records, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter was close enough to see Jesus looking at him when he denied Jesus for the third time. He saw Jesus turn and look at him. And the heartbreak of realizing he had fulfilled Jesus' prophecy about denying him probably humiliated him. Maybe he had a sense of failure. And Luke records for us, he went away crying. Now, what can we learn from the account of Peter denying Jesus? You may remember that as Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he had brought three of the 12 disciples closer into that garden. Peter was one of them, and then the two who were blank of the name, the three disciples that probably were James and John. It says as Jesus went into the garden praying, he came back to where those three were sleeping. They were tired. And Jesus was disappointed that they had fallen asleep. And Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, Jesus said to Peter, he directs it toward Peter, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus knew what was about to happen with his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion. And he gave good instruction to his disciples as he knew that they would be persecuted too. So the first thing we learn is watch and pray. Philippians 3 and verse 12 beginning, Paul says, not as though I have already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are to have the right goals and remain committed to them. Peter had just told Jesus he would follow him even into prison and would lay down his life for his sake. And how often have we not been as committed to Jesus as the first day when we obeyed the gospel? The third thing is realize that failure is not fatal. The blood of Jesus can redeem all of mankind from the sins committed. By faith in Jesus, our sins can be removed and a relationship with God can be established and restored. 1 John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 8, says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. As mere mortals, we're subject to sin. We do sin. But our relationship as children of God allows us to repent and ask God for forgiveness. By God's grace and the power of the blood of Jesus that was shed, those sins will be forgiven. As we just read in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also remember Peter's words to Christians, elders of the church, and even to young people in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. To quickly compare the acts of Jesus to Peter, in his trial, Jesus did not deny that he had said, I will destroy this temple and raise it again in 3 days, speaking of his own body. But Peter, when pressed that he knew Jesus, denied that he even knew Jesus. Jesus was questioned by the high priest that had authority to put him to death. But Peter denied that he knew Jesus when questioned by 3 people who had no authority to kill him at that point. And Jesus knew it would cost him his life, but Peter denied Jesus before the common people. If he had admitted he was a disciple of Christ, what would it have cost him? It might have cost him acceptance among those evil and misguided people who accused him of being a disciple of Christ. We could say that Peter was weak at this point, but there are other events that influenced him to be stronger. Peter was to be with Jesus a few more days before he ascended to heaven, from the resurrection to the ascension of Jesus to heaven. And Peter had already heard many things that Jesus taught his disciples. He was a witness of Christ's crucifixion. He saw the empty tomb. He saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead, and he saw Jesus ascend into heaven. In Acts, the second chapter, the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, and the words of Peter are recorded within that first gospel sermon. And when the Jews in Jerusalem were convicted of their sin of killing Jesus, they were receptive to the gospel. In Acts 2 and verse 36 beginning, it says, "Therefore, as Peter proclaimed, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And as mentioned before, as mere mortals with our own faults, we may have denied Jesus in certain ways. Let us be resolved not to deny Jesus, but as Peter did, proclaim him. Peter was a strong, passionate man. He later on wrote two letters to Christians that had been scattered abroad by persecution. Remember also in John, the sixth chapter, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Will you also go away?" And Peter said, "To whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life." Peter, Matthew 16 and verse 16, Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is a good review. Next week, because I'm teaching chapter 18 of John, you're going to get a little bit more of it, but I won't be as long-winded as I was this morning. Hopefully you've learned something about this. We have one song to sing, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes.